This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What's your name?
Christopher Sweeney. Where'd you come from?
Will Young. This is Homo Sapiens, Season 3, Episode 4.
This week, William, we are on our road trip of America, and we have got a brilliant episode for you because we are going off to the gay rodeo, no less. We took ourselves off to Palm Springs to meet the gay cowboys and to meet Miss Palm Springs Hot Rodeo, Sianna Carmela Costa, who happens to be the first transgender Miss Palm Springs Hot Rodeo ever. I see a twinkle in your eye, William. Tell me why.
Because I'm hungover.
How so?
I went to see Bastille.
Ah, he went to my school.
No.
Yeah.
How, same age?
Oh, thank you. No, I think he's probably 5 years younger than me.
I think he's good looking. Mm. He's got a pair of pipes on him.
What took you there? I wouldn't see you at a Bastille gig myself.
Well, interesting. I went with my friend... Our friend, Milsey.
Your friend of mine, Milsey, of the Scrambled Eggs fame.
Yes.
See season one for more.
I feel she's going to come back for season three.
Over my dead body. I noticed she posted from Bastille on Instagram last night.
Well, you know she loves to Instagram
she
live or all that
Instagram,
shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't get her to do it.
Really?
I kept on tapping. The more pipes I had, I kept on tapping her. And then we got told off because my lighting designer and show designer, dear friend, Rob Sinclair, does Bastille. Hence, that's how I got there.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It was a great gig.
Yeah?
Great gig. And I was supping the dregs of that San Miguel from the... they'd run out of the barrel or whatever. And I said, I'll just keep it coming. He goes, it's only foam. I went, doesn't matter. I almost grabbed him by the throat.
One man's foam.
It's another man's forest.
Just got to take my sweat off.
Oh, I'm you're hot. Warm. And let's talk about this.
Let's.
You've do, got.
Did we put on a voice? Did we put on a little voice?
See, you are hot. Oh, dear. Tell me why.
I've been ill.
You have been ill. I know.
And I had to cancel things.
Yes, you did.
I've had a cold. I'm going to say flu.
I mean, you look horrific.
Like death.
Absolutely
like
horrific.
Like death warmed up. That's what my dad always
said. I don't know. It's like, yeah, like death. It's like someone's got a badger and just slapped you around the face with it.
Thanks.
Your husband, William, is very good at playing nursey.
He brought me food in bed for 3 days solid.
He loves it though, doesn't he?
There was a slight, you know, the thing I love about being ill is when there's a glimmer that you're better and you're choosing whether you want to reveal it or not. And they look at you and they go, do you want me to bring you something? Mm. And you're like, I'd like some toast, please.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And they look at you like, you're not fucking ill anymore.
No, they and suddenly there's just a little bit of a from them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pleased you're here because I'd be happy to do it on my own, but it's hard.
In some ways you are.
When I do this radio show, I'll tell you about the radio things and who knows if anyone listens.
Strictly is also back on stage
next
week.
God, imagine. God, I've had to squeeze into that outfit again. So I was on the radio because I don't have you to talk to.
Yeah.
I just talk shit. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about, I said, oh yeah, I remember listening to that song on the top of hay bales with my brother in the summertime when we were teenagers. Oh, and you used to get all the combine harvesters. And then I went, God, you don't see any combine harvesters anymore. And I looked through the glass at the two guys that were
both
doing
asleep.
The show. No, they were like, what? You don't see any... I mean, really, like, almost disgusted. Like, what the fuck are you saying? And then I was like, oh, yes, but you don't really see them in London. It was a dead-end conversation.
Just watching the red clock timer go down to like...
Yes.
47 seconds till I can play Tony Braxton.
Yes. Oh, my God.
What can I say?
Exactly. And now here's some left field.
And what do you play?
Next week is Crush.
Jennifer Page, Crush.
Jennifer Page. Sonic. I got a smell on you. Yeah. Leaves me totally mystified.
Do you remember she was wearing that
And that's what makes you hard.
She's wearing that short silver dress.
Yes.
Shaved head.
Yes.
Green lasers.
Yes. 90s. I'm a sinner, I never get it. And then her voice suddenly changed. Went sort of weird place.
Oh,
so I've got another one. On the Beach.
Which one's
York.
Oh my God.
But yeah, oh. I got to play 7 minutes, pretty much, or 6 minutes of Donny Hathaway, The Ghetto.
What's that?
It's just the most amazing tune. But when did you get to play that on Radio 2?
No.
I was thrusting and jiving in my chair.
Have you seen Dermot O'Leary videos himself doing this warm-up dance every time he goes on the radio?
No.
Have you seen it?
Is it?
He goes on Instagram Live and he does this dance for like 15 minutes before his episode. And everyone like logs on and goes, wait, damn it, have a look at it.
Is he a good mover?
Yeah, he's a really good dancer.
Is he? Oh God, don't. Because I always think he'd be, if it was marry, snog, push off a cliff.
Yeah.
He'd be marry, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Who are the three you were talking about? T4 presenters.
Oh. So. Oh no, we can't because we'll be nasty about people.
No, but we
obviously
won't do.
Push off a cliff is.
We're not going to do push off a cliff.
No.
But we'll do snog. Well, Jameela Jamil, because I think she's amazing.
My God, she's amazing. She's in that show.
The Good Place.
She's so good.
And have you seen her thing, I Weigh, she's been doing on Instagram? She does this thing which is all about positive body image, and she's really cool. I was directing a video for Sophie Ellis-Bextor many years ago, and she came to set when she was a T4 presenter to do a piece about it. And do you remember the tone of T4 was so pissed-take?
Just so aggro and such wankers.
It was mean. I thought it was really mean.
They were mean.
And she arrived and I was just like...
Here we go.
They're going to be mean to Sophie Ellis-Bextor. It doesn't matter about me. They're going to be mean to her. And I was like, oh, this is horrible. And Jameela Jamil was so nice and not mean at all. And I felt like she had the confidence to not be that kind of... You can't sit with us tone that had developed on T4 somehow.
Oh, Simon Amstel, the only person that ever made me cry.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did he make you cry?
So proud, because I have no sex life. I don't even know why I'm saying that. Do you know what I mean?
It's just really fun.
It's just funny, isn't it? Yeah, he really made me cry. It was horrible.
In person?
They were just so nasty in the interviews.
You were there for peak.
Yeah, peak nastiness. Never understood it. Mm. But praise the Lord, those days are gone. Can I tell you about a book?
Please.
I've got a copy of this. Don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I don't give a shit.
The Bible.
Yes. Joseph, he's a funny chap. I don't think it's out yet. But it's called Queer Intentions. It's by a journalist called Amelia Abraham. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading it, and it's really interesting.
Oh.
It's a journey through LGBTQ+ culture.
Really?
Yeah, and she talks about kind of,
just having
do we want to get married? Why do I want to get married?
Oh, it's sticky.
Stop it. Just sort of questioning lots of things, but in a very interesting, self-effacing, relatable way. And I think it's rather cool. I think she's rather cool, actually. I like her.
Do you think that this could be something that could translate beyond the LGBTQ+ community?
Yes, because I think, like, she's talking about breakups, you know. She goes all the way to... This isn't a spoiler. It starts off with her going all the way to Iceland for this girl.
Oh, crumbs.
So she gets back to Luton and it's like, what the hell am I doing? And I love her. I don't know. It's just a very, very good way to start. Yeah, it's a good book.
Have you ever done anything reckless like that in love?
I got back from Miami, that's a whole other story in itself, and flew up to Edinburgh to go and sleep with this guy, mm-hmm. and we went on a sort of date thing, I must have told you this, and we went up George Street in Edinburgh, it was the Edinburgh Festival, he was in some horrific drama show, well I played a hawk, and he swung on scaffolding, and I just was watching it going, oh my God, what the hell am I doing here? And then we went for a meal, but we went to like a place where you get takeaway pizza. You know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, when you're pissed.
Yes.
And he asked for champagne. I thought, oh my God. And he said, we've only got sparkling wine. The guy bought sparkling wine. And then he opened it and it went all over said person. And I thought it was hysterical. He didn't.
Oh my God.
But we did have bloody good sex, let me tell you. Oh, that's when we had sex in a Grundon bin.
Oh, okay. So that's the time when you had sex in Grundon bin. And then when people found out about that, Grundon sent you a mini bin.
Grundon sent me a mini pencil sharpener Grundon bin.
Oh my God.
I know.
I went on a date with a guy who was a violinist and he invited me to his gig. And then backstage or afterwards or whatever, he said, I really want you to spend the night with me, but I'm sharing a room with my bandmate, who was the other violinist. I think the three of us should sleep in a room together. There's two single beds. I said no. That was an odd request, right?
Was the other violinist hot?
Hot and straight. He got really grumpy. It was like, I don't understand why you won't stay the night. And I was like, I'm not going to stay in a room with someone who I don't know in a single bed.
No, it's weird. Did you ever see him again?
I can't remember.
Oh, you can remember, you just can't say.
No,
can
I just, I'm just laughing. The reason I'm laughing is because I was absolutely besotted with him. And you look back on your younger self and go, what on earth was going through your mind? I also remember asking someone.
Oh, God.
Why am I telling these stories?
Yeah, it's good. Share.
I remember asking someone out. I was so nervous. I really fancied this guy. I was at DTPM. Did you ever go there?
DTPM, yes. Sunday night?
Sunday. Big gay night on a Sunday
night.
Yeah,
where was it?
Fabric, I think. And it was, everyone was like topless and muscly and handsome. And I was fully clothed and nervous. We went in and this guy was so handsome and he was on the dance floor and it was really druggy. And I wasn't doing any drugs for once. And I walked up to him in the middle of the dance floor and I just went, excuse me. And he went, yeah. And he went, I don't suppose you'd like to go for a drink sometime. And he just looked at me and went, no.
Oh, that's awful.
And I had to stand, and I was in the middle of the dance floor. Yeah, it's awful, but I was being weird.
I don't think that's weird because I think it just shows that you wanted to do things in that way.
I know, but I wasn't really reading the room. I was being a bit odd.
It's quite charming.
Also, I will say, what comes up, I've just thought, as I said that story, that I've never heard anyone talk about, actually. There is a real thing in the gay male community where people will blank you as you talk to them. So if you go up and try and say hi, they'll just go, no, and turn around. I've had that happen to me a few times.
Me too.
It's horrendous.
Yeah, it's horrible. But do you think that's just the gay community? Don't you think?
All my face.
I remember when, like, I became an adult and thought, oh, God, now I have to kind of flirt with people. I was dreadful at it. First time I went to a gay club. I went with two sisters of a girlfriend.
Is that gay slang?
No. I went with the two sisters of a girl. It's like passe or whatever.
They're a drag act, aren't they?
Two sisters and a girlfriend. God, was I the girlfriend? And I went up to a guy. It was in Freedom, which was a sort of bisexual bar in Soho, London. And I asked someone for a drink. I plucked up the courage to do it.
Oh.
And then he was straight. But he was really nice.
Really?
And I said, well, my friends are watching, so can I just buy you a drink anyway?
Oh.
And I did.
Did you?
That's cool. Again, I had no, like, that whole thing of having game.
No.
I kind of like forced myself to have game, but literally, I don't think, and I'm going to be honest, I've never thought about this, I don't think I ever liked doing it.
No.
I don't think it was me.
You feel like you're doing something because allegedly this is what you're supposed to do?
No, like I would, and, you know, had some wonderful encounters over the years. I think my 30th in particular, I remember. Came out of nowhere, that one. 1 minute I was in a kebab shop.
Next thing, I was the kebab shop.
What time is it?
It's time for Twitter.
Oh, yes, I heard that. It's a little burpy.
The Twitter question this week is, what's the last text you sent? Why did we ask the question, William? Because we thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes there doesn't need to be a rhyme or a reason, does there?
No, it's just getting to know the listeners.
James Barley has written, I'm going to cook as a vegan full English. I'll need some help with the scrambled tofu. That's sort of scrambled eggs, isn't it? Which have form on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you at with your We All Must Become Vegan and Save the Planet?
Chris, honestly, I've got better fish to fry. I've got an album to finish.
Fish to fry. There you
oh
go.
Oh, God, more, there you go. I've done it. Done it already.
I've got an album to finish. The last message Ashley sent was, do you fancy coming over on Sunday for long walks, loads of fresh air and more hearty food?
It's an open question.
That's adult dating. Like adult we were just
dating.
Talking about.
Yes.
They replied, yes, Ashley's informed us. So that was their Sunday sorted. Becky Harrison, the last message she sent was, love you more than turkey and piccalilli sandwiches, comma, ego. Well, Becky's pregnant for a start.
All right, so turkey's out.
Whereas, and she's, that's a craving.
Oh, it's a craving.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what my hunch is.
Yes, well done.
The last message Ethan Harvey said, his is funny, pretend I'm sexy.
I wish you hadn't said that when I put a drink in my mouth.
That's good, isn't it?
Oh my God, that should be the t-shirt. Pretend I'm sexy. It's a great one. We're taking that.
We're going to be like the Olsen twins. We're going to launch a fashion range. We can really straighten our hair and wear long coats and just walk around Hollywood looking grumpy together.
Oh yeah, and sort of the Stevie Nicks hats.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yvonne's last message that she sent was, lost two recycling bins again. Got four lids and one bin. Lucky the big bins were just about on the drive. You don't have to reply if you don't want to, Yvonne. The last message remaining, Zane said, I'll let him discuss it with his husband tonight. It's trouble at Mill.
I think they're buying a house.
I think they live in Lower Loxley, don't you?
Oh my God, the Archer.
Do you think they're buying a house?
I think they're buying a house.
Tedney has said, then he stopped replying once he saw my nudes.
Oh.
Well, that's like me in the club. It's got nothing to do with you, Tedney. It's them.
Got everything to do with them.
Fly like an eagle. You're beautiful, Tedney.
Yes.
Oh, Christ. Falkorinster, I thought you'd have at least chopped it up or something by the time I got back.
Cocaine, clearly.
Well, I was thinking of murder.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll end with one you're going to love, William, from Laurie Loris. The last message Laurie Loris said was, he had a bit of a marching band jacket on. It's your thing, no? You love a marching band jacket.
Yeah, I do.
Right?
Just got rid of a couple of them.
Have you?
Well, one of them's quite expensive.
Sold or thrown away?
Let me just tell you, the charity shop around the corner from me, I'm so in with them now.
You do,
but I have to tell them that it's really nice stuff. I'm like, I just want to tell you, by the way, that this is actually really nice.
You do remember your little friend Chris, though, don't you?
No, but little Chris doesn't... Oh, actually, there were a couple of things he probably...
What little Chris has grown, has he?
Oh, shit, you would have liked a couple of them, actually. That big Mulberry coat.
What? Mulberry?
Yeah. Blue.
Blue? I love blue.
And I had a grey...
Grey? I love grey.
Like loft.
Loft. I love loft. William, it's a really special landmark for us. Do you know who I've had an email from?
Rona?
No. The Universal Church of Life emailed me. Saying happy 8-year anniversary.
Oh, you're joking. You are joking.
I'm not joking. It's your anniversary, it says. Hello, Reverend Christopher. Another year, another cheer. That's right. It's now been 8 years since you became an ordained minister, which we did 8 years ago in your sitting room in Cornwall. Do you remember? And we both got ordained. And then, little did we know all those years ago that you would, in fact, marry me as the ordained minister. Isn't that pretty cool? Do you want to know the date we did it? 5th of February 2011.
Oh, we went down. That's so lovely.
Do you want to know the other thing that happened on that very day?
Milsey gave you a blowy?
On that very day, William, is when Scrambled Egg Gate began.
Yeah, when you and Milsey...
That's been an 8-year beef. That's longer than Kanye and Drake.
It's longer than Brexit.
Anyway, what a happy celebration.
Oh, congratulations. I want to go higher now.
Thank you. Higher?
I want to go papal.
Maybe that's what you call the album. Scissors, papal, stone. I don't want to do this every week, but I feel like my horse impression is quite apt here.
Yes, it is. Why, though?
Because we went to Palm Springs on our road trip of Queer America to the LGBT rodeo.
Yes.
Or the gay rodeo. An amazingly progressive institution, which is, encompasses all the things that you associate with the American institution of rodeo, which is riding horses, competitions. You sort of have like a talent contest as well, but all through the LGBT filter.
And they do things with goats.
What I thought was cool about it is it's this gay event, but is actually built for everyone to come to, families, everything, come to it, right? So it's kind of this amazingly inclusive event.
Specific, but not specific. And that's hard for a man to say with a lisp.
Yes.
And not what I expected at all.
And the amazing story of Sammy, and where he grew up in this ultra macho environment, but he knew he was gay, and then through gay rodeo he found himself. It's incredible.
So here's the interview you're going to hear from Miss Palm Springs Hot Rodeo Joni, which was how she wanted to be called at the time. But first, you're going to hear from Sammy, who's going to talk about goats.
We have tried to add this. It's a community event, and it's called Community Goat Dressing. It can be other kinds of events too, but one of the rodeo events is goat dressing, and so if we call it community goat dressing, we can bring people in out of the stands, and anybody who just wants to try it could come in and try to dress the goat.
Can we just clarify what exactly goat dressing is?
I'm so excited.
He's seeing a sheep in a bonnet right now.
Well, so much fun to watch. It's so hilarious.
So there we have a goat that is
Will is jumping up and down.
Well,
it's because I dress as sheep and I go to France dress puppies.
And it might be very close. So there, it's a two-person team. They work as partners. One person has underwear. Mm-hmm. So it's just plain white underwear, large size for the goat. One of the team members, that's their job, is to catch the goat. And then the other person has the underwear to put it on, and they work as a team to put that on. And there's a technique that really works fast and easy if you work together. And it
how did it come about? It's brilliant.
That's one of the events in what we call, or in the gay rodeos, it's called a camp event. It was created. It was made up to help bring people in to do something fun, something easy. And I don't call it easy because it's really not that easy. and it can also be dangerous. People get hit in the face with the goat hooves. Mm, people have ran and sprained their ankles, fallen and broken their wrists. Any event in rodeo has risks. But it's a fun event, and it does help. It's almost like an introductory event. If someone who just was watching and decided, I want to do something in the rodeo, this would be something that I would, or as one of another rodeo person would come and say, this is what you can start off in.
Yeah,
get your feet wet.
It's almost sounding like, to me, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, like rodeo is such an institution in America and it brings people together and it brings community together, that you can put on the gay rodeo and people can come and they know what they're going to get. But at the same time, we'll see some really inclusive things going on that perhaps they wouldn't normally be exposed to. But because it's on their terms in an environment they know, one of the reasons we wanted to cover the rodeo on this trip is because it is so, for me, the epitome of masculinity, American masculinity, and then also with the royalty thing, American femininity and showmanship and stuff. And so I think it's quite interesting, and I wonder what you feel, that it's sort of like, but by being gay you're not allowed to be included in that because it's you're suddenly not masculine, let's say, and that's rubbish. You know, you can be a gay man who also does rodeo, and it doesn't make you any less of a man. Is that something that you've come across as a concept?
As a concept, and that's true in a lot of things. I am an accountant, is my profession. So an accountant would not get on the back of a bull and ride in rodeo. So, you know, that comes out in just about... No, it comes out in a lot of different ways. You could be in the rodeo. You can do all kinds of different things in the rodeo. That doesn't mean that you can't be a normal person, or that doesn't make you gay or make you not gay. The gay rodeo is not just for gay people. It's not gay animals. It's not gay.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Stop recording.
That ball is not gay, okay? That's true.
That ball hasn't met me yet.
Truly, the rodeos are hosted by LGBT or gay associations.
Yeah.
And that's where they get the label gay rodeo. Yeah. But they are not just for gay people. They're not just for gay contestants or even for gay members. Mm. There are members of the association that are straight.
Oh, that's just such a wonderful thing. Such a wonderful way of inviting.
And including.
Yes. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the birthing of it? What was the idea of it? Who came up with it?
I would have to make sure I refer back to the rodeo history, which is online on the IGRA website. In the 70s, there was a emperor and empress of Reno. Mm. And they were going to do a fundraiser for muscular dystrophy. And their fundraiser was a rodeo. It turned into a bigger event than they expected, and it grew from there, really. It's another kind of royalty where the royalty of the rodeos evolved from.
Can you explain what is the royalty? I'm so fascinated.
Royalty is not only just in the gay rodeo, it's also in the amateur rodeo and the professional rodeo as well. They still have royalty in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for the gay rodeo, there are positions as far as we have Mr. Palm Springs Gay Rodeo, then we have Ms. Palm Springs Gay Rodeo, that's what I am, and then we have Miss, and that's our drag queen, and she's something else, and then it can always be a Miss Tur with a capital T in the middle, and that's our drag king, but we don't have one of them. Being Ms. Palm Springs Hot Rodeo is a big thing because I'm breaking the grounds of new areas to go into because I am the first transgender ever to win it locally, statewide, or internationally.
Really?
I've never had a transgender ever.
It's so brilliant to hear that.
Ever since I've come out as a transgender woman, so I grew up around all this kind of stuff. I never competed in rodeos, but if I had to, I rode horses and roped cattle and branded them and castrated them and all, so it doesn't matter.
Wow.
I've done it all.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this could be fun.
How was that growing up on a cattle ranch, knowing that you were a woman?
Very difficult. Let's put it that way, because, you know, it was cattle ranch, and my dad was born in 1921, so he's very old school. Growing up as a little boy, knowing that I was in the wrong body was really difficult, but I still took on that boy roles, manly roles growing up. I learned everything I could from my dad, and I can drive anything, fix anything, hunt and fish. It's an unbelievable what I've learned as a young person, but I was fighting it all the time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. And I just came out just about 2.5 years ago now. It was actually at my son's wedding that I realized, okay, this is just, I can't do this anymore. We're dancing. It was a beautiful wedding. My God, I looked good. I was in a beautiful tux.
Hmm.
5 o'clock shadow, perfectly shaded. And it's like, oh, God. Everybody's like, oh, you're so handsome. Oh, my God. Mm. And then I'm out on the dance floor dancing with all these beautiful women and bridesmaids dancing with them and looking at their dresses. It's like, what the hell am I doing? It's like, why am I in this? I don't want to be in this. I don't feel comfortable in this. I had lace on underneath, of course, to make me somewhat feel a little feminine.
Really?
That night I was with my sister at my mom's house after the wedding, and I told my sister, I says, that's it, I can't do it. I can't live this lie anymore. Mm. I came back to Palm Springs the next day, called up my therapist. She says, be here tomorrow. I said, okay. I walked in, she says, what? She says, I looked at her and says, that's it. I can't be a man anymore. I gotta be the true woman that I am inside. She's seen the smile on her face. She just lit up, says, let's do this thing.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been a journey. It's been one heck of a journey, yes.
And had you told anyone anything about it prior to your son's wedding?
My sister and I talked about it prior for a few years, but she was the only one.
That is really amazing, and congratulations.
And being Ms. Palm Springs is just, like I said, almost like the icing on the cake right now. And
yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm loving life now. It's unbelievable.
How was your mum? Did you tell your mum? Because you said you went back with your sister and your mum.
My mom knew. I told her about 2 weeks after my son's wedding. Told her, and to this day, she still has a hard time with it. She won't refer to me as Joni. Mm-hmm. She just says, I will never call you that name, so don't ever ask. Mm-hmm. I says, well, then you can't call me by my given name because I'll just stop talking to you. Mm-hmm. She says, well, I don't want that. And I says, well, why don't you use my first two initials, JC? She says, really? I can do JC.
I like that.
Just thinking about that sort of transformation for you from someone who's standing at their son's wedding going, I need to make a change, to then being, you know, the, what's the exact title? Miss Palm Springs. Ms. Palm Springs. Yes. At what age were you when you decided to make that choice?
When I finally decided to transition? Yeah. Or when I knew I was...
When you chose to transition, let's say.
Let's see.
Nobody has to give that
56 really. Now, so...
So 50, early 50s. Yeah,
54, 53.
But then in 2 years, you make this incredible transition that I think is just... or transformation, you know, that is so inspiring to hear that it can all be done
in
so quickly, as soon as you make the commitment.
It is a commitment. It's a lifetime commitment. I looked at it, it's like, okay, this is really a brave thing for me to be doing, to walk out of this house dressed as a woman. Having my background as an ex-correctional officer, I do know how to take care of myself, so I wasn't really ever afraid for myself, but I was afraid of not being accepted at first. Mm. But then I came out with such an open and positive attitude that it just became easy, and it's second nature now to me.
What was coming up for me as I look at my chipped nails?
I saw them.
And they're awful. Horrible. Sorry, she did an awful job to begin with.
Those nails are painted black.
Currently. You should have gone get... Nails like mine.
Well, they're beautiful nails. They really are. Nail envy. I mean, I'm happy for you. Those are such
gels.
Isn't gels.
Isn't that what they're called?
I'm feeling a little jelly now.
Oh, right. I'm jelly for gels.
I feel jelly.
This is a business.
Here's the thing. I have worked on myself a lot to get to a place where I have to think about my physical safety. That has been one thing as a gay man. And being a known gay man because of my job, you know, I often didn't feel safe. Because people would, you know, I did have to worry about my safety. Mm-hmm. Now I feel I can take care of myself. I got a bit stronger, more secure in myself, and much more secure in my head. That I genuinely, when I walk out of the house, it's not even a mission to get out now and think, oh, I've got nail polish. I didn't even think about it. But even 2 years ago, I would have been quite scared to walk out the house with nail polish on.
Wow.
And so that's what comes up for me when I hear you say that. And a lot of it makes me realise that people want to put their shame onto me. But I don't need that.
I just don't need that.
Do you think that's linked to the idea that is, you know, if you almost think the best of everybody out there, you'll get good results back? You know, if you sort of put your faith in entering Ms. Palm Springs as the first trans woman, and then everybody loves you for it, you kind of get the rewards rather than living in fear, it feels like.
Yeah, you can have that also, but I have a very positive attitude and outlook towards everybody out there. You know,
and a lot of support. You have a lot of people that back you.
So
do you feel that the rodeo has been a resource for you as part of your transitioning?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and the whole rodeo community and everybody that's involved in it are just amazing people. And I know that if I needed anything, these men and women would just say, okay, we're here for you. What do you need? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're always there. They're always there for advice. I look up to them. It's like, okay, I don't look up to you guys because I'm taller than all of you. But no, the rodeo is a great resource for me. And it really gives me that confidence to go out there in the world and do what I want. I'm not stopping at Ms. Palm Springs. I'm going to run again next year for Ms. Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. I will win it again. I guarantee you that.
Oh, my God. This is the kind of talk I like.
After that, I would really like to go for, is it Ms. California?
Well, it's the state title. The state title. Ms. GSGRA, Ms. Golden State Gay Rodeo Association.
Okay.
And then the state associations would advance to the international title, Ms. International Gay Rodeo Association.
And that's what I want to do.
So that'll be a nice.
I
want
to go all the way to the top.
You go, girl.
If you need a social media campaign, we will back you.
You guys even more.
We know a very, very good cheap t-shirt printer. How has it been for yourself in terms of acceptance? I always ask, because I like to hear people's, I'm going to use this word, journey. Were there times that were difficult?
There were times of difficult within myself, just coming to terms and being open and honest to myself and to everyone that I was with or out there meeting. I think I've gotten past that, and I'm quite friendly and open now and comfortable wherever I go. When I was living in Northern California, in Humboldt, there's not a very large LGBT community. There is some, but not a large. It was very straight. Mm-hmm. And the few or the small community up there, it was very hard for me to get involved just because I was sort of an outsider. I didn't grow up in that area. And that's kind of what helped me to decide to move down to Palm Springs when I met my partner and we made that decision. So, but I have gotten to where I'm comfortable, where I could walk in just about anywhere. I've walked into the saloon that is very, very redneck, and I can walk into Toucans during the drag show. So, I feel comfortable now with myself and who I am to be able to go anywhere. I started meeting people before the internet was coming up with dating services. So a lot of that was just meeting people either at a social function, a club or a bar. LGBT centers used to have, I don't know, things posted on their boards for gatherings and clubs and things like that. So after turning 21, going to a bar was where I had met most of the people that I started meeting. And that's where I met the friends that introduced or told me about the Rodeo Association.
Are LGBT centers are they all over America?
I would have to say not really, because there's a lot of states that are not gay friendly. Mm. So there's a lot of towns. There's probably a center somewhere in that state, kind of hidden in a lot of these, but.
And most likely the larger cities or metropolitan areas have an LGBT center for reference, for information, for services and help.
Does the gay radio exist all over America?
There are associations all across the United States. Mm. There used to be more. They're slowly, some are coming, are dying out.
Oh, really?
But there have been associations all across the United States.
Why are they dying out?
I think a lot of the people that were involved in rodeo have gotten older. Mm-hmm. And the younger interest in rodeo is not there.
I was going to ask that. Yeah.
A lot of people don't live in a rural area that have... that want to know or even compete or do anything with rodeo unless you give them a party atmosphere, which mm-hmm. some of the rodeos did and helped to bring in attendance. But as we get older, we aren't able to do as many things, and there are fewer people to get involved and to help produce a rodeo. Mm-hmm. And there are fewer sponsors. Some of the large corporate sponsors that used to sponsor the rodeos have scaled back their LGBT budgets. Mm-hmm. And they usually, what they've told me is that they save that budget for a larger scale event, and that the rodeos don't have the kind of attendance that they want to put out that money. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the rodeo associations do scramble for sponsorships. That's how a rodeo is produced. It takes a lot of money. The Palm Springs Rodeo takes a little over $60,000 just to produce and break even. Anything over that is donated to charities, but it's a lot of work to raise $60,000 when you're getting people donating $100 here, $200 there. That's a lot of work, and there's not as many people available or able to do that.
What is it that you love about the rodeo?
Well, I grew up in the country life, and I it's just part of me. I've always enjoyed, if I could ride bulls again, I would. Mm-hmm. I still participate in in the events that I can. I enjoy it. I enjoy being out with the other people that... Well, especially new people that come in and they're all big-eyed and, oh, I want to do this. And okay, well, let's go over here and let me give you some pointers.
We should say, Sammy, you are much decorated now. You've won a lot of...
I have a lot of awards, yes, and I've been around a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only one. There are several people that have been with the Rodeo Association for a very long time as well.
But they're not here now.
So that's my time.
Can you take us through a day at the rodeo? Mm. How many events?
That's all you, sweetheart.
Well, the day itself, and it's a 2-day event, but both days are ran independently, but all events are ran, and then both days' scores are averaged to come an overall winner for both days. There were 13 events. There is one more that just recently was added that is an optional. So there can be up to 14 events at a rodeo. Because when you go to a professional rodeo, you see three on TV and they're done. So you're done in 2 hours and you're wondering, why does it take all day long for a gay rodeo to get done when we see it on TV for 2 hours? We have 14 rodeos.
And I always,
or 14 events.
It's always overpacked.
So there's a calf roping on foot, and then a team roping event, which is a very traditional straight event. So that's two people roping, one person roping the head of the cow and one person roping the hind heels.
And roping is throwing, because some people won't even know what rodeo is. So, like, that's throwing a rope.
It is throwing a loop, mm-hmm. a rope that has a loop over their head, over the horns.
Yeah.
And it captures the horns, and then they would lead the cow away from the second rider, who is going to throw another rope with a loop around the heels. Mm-hmm. And then there's coordination, timing, mm-hmm. it's a lot of skill, and maybe a little luck.
I think it's wonderful, because I would have thought It's like I grew up in the countryside, the kind of people that go to agricultural shows would not necessarily be total supporters of the LGBT community. And what I love hearing from you guys is that you have people that would be into rodeo who will come and support a gay rodeo event.
Yes.
And I would not have expected that before coming on this trip. It kind of, it makes me feel very kind of hopeful.
And that is one of the things that a rodeo association and a rodeo director puts out an effort to make their rodeo something special for people to come and watch.
Mm-hmm. So your family are a rodeo, and
yes.
So was there a moment where you presumably had to speak to them and say, "I'm going to join the gay rodeo"?
I've never really had that talk. Mm-hmm. It's just they know that I'm gay, mm-hmm. and they've seen me compete. And they've seen me also running around with the radio and directing people. So they know my involvement. They know that I get involved. And I believe that they are proud of me for that. Mm. When I first started doing rodeo, I didn't know how they would accept me for that. Mm-hmm. I think I started doing rodeo thinking that they would accept me being gay easier if they saw me doing rodeo. I don't know how true that really was, but that's just kind of where my head was when I started doing rodeos. I do go back and visit my family. It took a very long time to have a good relationship with them, and now I do, and I'm very happy about that. Mm. It didn't all happen overnight. It took a long time and a long distance.
For them to accept you being gay.
Yes, so being in California for a long time, and it just took a long time to develop a relationship with my family.
Mm. I remember telling someone, when I told someone I was gay, coming out to them, I said, "But," and I used the word but I still like cars. You know, as if like, it's okay, I still like straight things. So now I realize you can do whatever you want, it doesn't matter.
Yes, I believe I was slow coming out because I was afraid to come out. And so there were things that I did to try to fit in and to at least show that I wasn't
too different.
Too different, yes.
Yeah, that makes.
But then what is different? Because, I mean, I guess that's really a bad thing. Some people have a stereotype and some people use that stereotype negatively. So
yeah.
I think in my mind I was going to the negative stereotype and trying to avoid that.
Oh, I totally did that. I mean, I hated most gay people, to be honest. I remember being, when I first came out, because I had such gay shame that I hadn't dealt with in myself. So I'd be like, oh, well, I won't be like that, you know.
Mm.
So I projected it out onto other gay people until I kind of realised it was actually my stuff, not anyone else's stuff. That's just where I was then.
My rodeo family is very supportive, and it helped me to actually be more open and honest with myself. And so that kind of helped me come out to everything, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think a gay rodeo offers that the traditional rodeo doesn't?
Fabulous people like me. Sorry, I have to say it, okay?
Somebody had to say it.
I know, I think it's just, me personally, I've gone to a lot of different rodeos. I grew up around cowboys and cowgirls my whole entire life, and I find a gay rodeo is just so much more exciting because, one, everybody's just wanting to have some fun. Everybody's just enjoying each other's company, and and everybody's open to talk to whoever. It doesn't matter. It's kind of a really neat energy that you don't typically get at a, what would you call it? Just a typical amateur or professional rodeo. Mm-hmm. You just don't get that energy that we have at our gay rodeo here. Our gay rodeo is just a lot of fun.
Tell us a bit about the atmosphere, because I think it sounds electric.
For me, it was. This is my second gay rodeo I've gone to, and running for Ms. Palm Springs at that time, I was able to hang out with a whole bunch of the competitors, hang out in the VIP area, and that was really fun because I knew quite a few people there, and I knew the our country singer that was there, knew him personally, and it was kind of fun to have him there because he always saw me. He said, "Joni, give me my hug." but it was just a lot of fun to watch it, and then watching everybody that's really involved in it. I mean, how they led it and how they kept that energy going, even down there in the arena and everything. They're very, very professional, but you can see that they're having fun. It's wow. They can see smiles on their faces and they joke around, but they're extremely professional out there.
Mm. And why has Palm Springs become a really inclusive LGBTQ space?
Yeah, it's a fun place to be. Weather's perfect all year round, even though it's hot. We get great evenings.
Palm Springs has always been a destination resort. Mm-hmm. The weather has always been nice most year round, so I couldn't say for sure why it's been sort of a resort-like place and that a gay community has grown and been big and part of that.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I believe all of the city council members are gay.
Right.
Including a transgender woman who mm-hmm. just recently was elected. And we've had gay mayors. Our mayor right now is gay.
Do you feel that America itself is becoming a more inclusive place? Where do you think it's at?
For right now, I think overall, yes, except for our administration that's
mm-hmm.
occupying a beautiful White House on the East Coast here. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
They're making it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That person that's in that house is making it extremely difficult for us to be more accepted throughout the United States because
yeah.
I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but I feel like we are feeling more threatened out here because there are groups of people, men or women, doesn't matter, thinking that they can just do whatever they want because this person in the White House told them that, hey, yeah, this is not acceptable.
Really?
LGBTQ plus people are not acceptable.
Really?
And so they think they can take it into their own hands. And we've had a huge rising of hate crimes since his election.
In Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs, a lot of them. I have one friend that was attacked by 8 men one night.
No.
Yeah. He left, went back into the house after 3 of them were on the ground and the other 5 ran away.
Really?
He took care of him.
He took him out.
All by himself. So I gave him a big hug and a kiss last time I saw him. I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. Yeah. I was like, God, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
It's like bowling. 10-pin bowling, whatever you want.
But it does come down to, yes, we're being more accepted. LGBTQ+ is being more accepted in our community here and abroad. But then again, now we're hearing from the groups that never really accepted us, don't want to accept us,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they're the ones that are really mouthing out at us and just doing what they want, it seems like.
And what do you think we can all do to combat that?
Education.
Mm-hmm.
Pure, utter education.
Can I just say, Joni, as she was called there, but Ciana Carmela Costa,
mm-hmm.
As she is referred to now, that story, when she talks about her being at the wedding, that's a film. And I actually cried when I listened to that back.
Mm.
And I just thought, that's why I do this podcast.
Mm.
It made me weep.
And to watch someone who later in life has completely changed everything, the fear about what it would be to change her life, and to see that in 2 years she's radically transformed everything about herself and is so happy. It's never too late.
No, she just bloody rose like a phoenix.
She sent us an email, actually, just saying that she changed her name and all this stuff. She just, because she felt it was prettier. She said, "Hello, fabulous gentlemen. I'm loving listening to your wonderful adventures in the US. Sam Smith was amazing. Sounds like you all had so much fun. The podcasts are always a fun way to start my day. I look forward to it every week. As for your t-shirts, they are great, but I wish you offered them as women's tank tops as well." they're still available for such a short time only. So get yourself over to everpress.com/homo-sapiens to get yourself a Homo Sapiens t-shirt or sweater.
And I'm just going to say, I actually do wear, as you know, my Homo Sapiens t-shirts. People comment on it.
Do they? What do they say?
Well, they say, where's that? Or what is that? And I go, none of your fucking business. Get me the latte.
They're selling really well, and we did a short campaign because we just thought that would be fun. So please head over to everpress.com/homo-sapiens and get yours.
And it's only open for another 2 weeks.
True story.
We need to end on a cowboy themed. Rolling, rolling, homo, homo, homo.
Keep the homo, homo. Keep the homo, homo, homo.
Rawhide. Oh, yeah. Homo.
Homo.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Powered by Spirit Studios.